أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Supreme Leader's speech to government officials and the participants of the Conference on Islamic Unity. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I would like to congratulate all of you honorable audience, the dear guests, who have come here from other countries, the ambassadors of Islamic countries, and also all of the great people of Iran, who proved their kindness and commitment to the issue of prophethood in practice on this auspicious and great Eid. I also congratulate the entire Islamic Ummah, who has a feeling of unity and unanimity centered on this auspicious name of the Holy Prophet, on this great Eid. I would like to extend my congratulations to all the liberated people throughout the world on this auspicious Eid. The blessings which have been bestowed on the great birthday of the Holy Prophet really belong to all the liberated people throughout the world. These blessings belong to all of the people who are after liberation, justice, and achieving lofty and divine values. A number of mystics believe that the month of Rabiul Awwal is the spring of life in the real sense of the word, because in this month, both the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and also his honorable grandson Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq alayhi salam were born. And the birthday of the Holy Prophet is the beginning of all the blessings that Allah the Exalted has bestowed on humanity. We who consider Islam as a tool for humanity to achieve happiness and salvation should know that this divine blessing is because of the Holy Prophet, which has been bestowed upon us in this month. In fact, we should consider this great birthday as the beginning of all the blessings with which Allah the Exalted honored the human community, the Islamic Ummah, and the followers of truth. It is not enough to merely celebrate this birthday anniversary. We should primarily strengthen our spiritual relationship with the Holy Prophet. The world of Islam should strengthen its spiritual and emotional relationship with the Prophet on a daily basis. This is the common ground between all the Muslims throughout the world. Those whose hearts beat for the formation of the Islamic Ummah should rely on this issue, the spiritual and emotional relationship with the Holy Prophet. That is to say, they should primarily make a serious decision to follow this great personality in all the issues. In a number of Holy Quranic ayahs or verses, certain points have been explained about the Holy Prophet's behavior, his political behavior, the kind of government he had, and his feeling towards the people, whether towards Muslims or non-Muslims. The moral education of the great companions of the Holy Prophet and their behavior show the kind of orientation that Islam and the Holy Prophet adopted towards education of the Islamic Ummah. We should practice these in our own lives. We should do these in practice. It is not enough to say these in words. Today, the ground is prepared for this issue. Islamic awakening is a truth, and it has happened. After many decades of domination, during which the enemies of Islam and the enemies of Muslims spread their domination over Islamic countries in the form of direct colonialism, neocolonialism, indirect colonialism, and in the form of cultural, economic, and political domination, the core of Islamic awakening has grown gradually. And after many years, during which the Muslim nations were crushed under the enormous pressure of domination from the West and from European and American governments, Islamic awakening has been established and is revealing itself. Today, people throughout the world of Islam feel that Islam is their tool for achieving dignity, glory, and independence. Thanks to Islam, all the national dreams of a nation can come true. Thanks to Islam, Islamic nations can stand up against the domination of the West and against the arrogance, oppressive domination, and exploitation of Western governments. And the West has to retreat. Today you can see this in the world of Islam. More than 30 years ago, this event took place in Iran. Today, we also see this in other places in the world of Islam, such as in North Africa. Steps are taken towards victory. Of course, there are certain problems, but if we remain vigilant, problems cannot create obstacles in our way. The Holy Quran says, "They shall by no means harm you, but with a slight evil." Surah 3, verse 111. Yes, they harm us and create problems for us. But if we have determination and rely on God and decide to move forward, they cannot create obstacles in our way. Today, Islamic nations have awakened. Thanks to Islam, they feel that they can get their message across to the enemies of the world of Islam and the corrupt Zionist network, which has established domination over policies of Western governments. These victories are very valuable. Allah promised you many acquisitions which you will take. Then He hastened on this one for you. This is part of the divine promise which was fulfilled. and held back the hands of men from you, and that it may be a sign for the believers, and that he may guide you on a right path. Surah 48, verse 20. Each victory that a nation achieves against the enemies and against their propaganda and evil tools is a divine testimony and a divine sign, and that it may be a sign. If you move forward, you will achieve results. Today the world of Islam is faced with the plots of enemies. I would tell you, dear brothers and sisters, whether you are Iranian or non-Iranian, that today the enemy's most important tool for confronting Islamic awakening is creating discord. They want to pitch Muslims against Muslims, destroy Muslims at the hands of Muslims, and keep them busy with conflicts. What is better than keeping Muslims busy with conflicts for the enemies of Islamic independence? Since the very first day that the Islamic Revolution achieved its victory, they pursued the policy of creating discord among our nation and our country. But the Islamic Republic stood up against this plot with absolute determination. We announced, our magnanimous Imam, Rahmatullah Alayh, announced, and the Iranian nation repeatedly stressed throughout his lifetime and after his demise, that we believe in Islamic Brotherhood. We condemn any rift amongst Muslims. This is exactly the opposite of what the enemies' agents, who use any small incident to create discord, want. If you take a look, you see that today, the policies of the enemies of Islamic awakening in North African countries is to create discord. This is the policy of global arrogance. They want to make them kill one another and pitch them against one another. The cure for this disease is a feeling of unity between Muslims. Muslim nations should become united. Inside each country, different groups, different denominations, and different parties should hold hands. They should not let religious, political, and partisan differences and differences of opinion dominate their major moves so that they can stand up against the enemies. Today, this is the only way. The enemies try to create discord by using all kinds of tricks. You can see this. When Muslims busy themselves with conflicts, the issue of Palestine and standing up against the greed of America and the West will be sidelined, and the enemies will find the opportunity to hatch their plots. Today, we can see that the West has started a new movement in Africa in order to dominate African nations and to maintain their presence again in the lives of African people. When the fire of discord is kindled, the enemy finds the opportunity to do anything. What disasters they are creating in Pakistan, our neighboring country, under the pretext of differences in this country. How they make a group of people kill another group of people in Syria. How they completely silence the voice of a nation in Bahrain. They deprive a nation of everything. How they pitch the people against one another in Egypt and other areas. These are the policies which may have been shaped as a result of certain individuals' personal and religious motives. But the main plot has been hatched by the enemies. I do not accuse anybody of intentionally or willingly hatching the plot of the enemy, but I firmly say that each kind of discord among Muslim nations or inside each Islamic country means that they are playing into the enemy's hands. This is a kind of help offered to the enemy, and everybody should take the issue of unity seriously. Primarily, elites, including political, religious, academic, and seminary elites, should be aware of this. Elites, wherever they are, should do this. In our country, everybody should take the issue of unity seriously. Creating religious discord among different Muslim groups is a great danger. If the enemies can fuel the fire of sectarian discord somewhere, extinguishing this fire is one of the most difficult tasks. We should prevent this from happening. This is not possible except if the elites in each country show their initiative and make efforts to preserve their purity. Scholars, academics, politicians, and those who are influential should explain to the people about the plot of the enemy and their hope of creating discord amongst the people. Islamic countries, Islamic parties, different orientations and different Islamic denominations, and between Sunni and Shia, they should inform the people about this. This is a great danger which the enemies have been involved with. The English have a long history in this regard. We have read about them in books, and we can see what they have done to create discord. They know how to do it, and the others have learnt it from them. They are busy trying to create discord among Muslims, but we should avoid discord. We should not fuel the fire by arousing shallow and vulgar feelings. This will burn the fate of nations. It will completely destroy them. And it will help the enemies of Islam, the enemies of Muslims, and the enemies of independence to succeed in their goals. And it will help them hatch their plots. We should remain vigilant. Islamic unity is a sacred slogan. If the Holy Prophet were among us today, he would invite us to promote unity, as this holy verse of the Quran says. It grieves him that you should perish. Ardently anxious is he over you. To the believers is he most kind and most merciful. Surah 9, verse 128. The Prophet would prevent these kinds of discord. If we love the Holy Prophet, we should meet this major demand that he made. I ask Allah the Exalted to bestow on all of us the blessing to do what we say. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings. Wassalam.